Amen. Welcome once again to River of Life. We're so glad that you joined us this morning. Welcome friends and guests and all those who are online. And this morning, I just wanted to recognize Angela and Michael. Her son Michael is with her this morning, and he graduated recently. And there are several intercessors that have been praying for Michael. And Angela or Michael, would you like to share a testimony this morning? I know it's been a struggle. Michael says no. But his mom is usually ready to share. You're so welcome, and we're so proud of you, Michael. Congratulations. All right, we're going to get into the message this morning about if you really know Jesus. The title is If You Really Know Me, but when I put it out on the sign, I thought, well, it isn't If You Really Know Me. They don't know that me we're talking about when they're driving by, right? It's just a part of a scripture, so if you really know Jesus. In Proverbs 8:35, the scripture says, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message this morning. Thank you for the word, that it is spirit and it is life. Lord, we pray that life is released into each one of our hearts and minds, Lord, as we read and study this word together in Jesus' name. So, you know, it's one thing to know about another person, and it's a whole different thing to actually know a person through a mutual and encouraging relationship. And, you know, I discovered this more and more as we have Facebook friends. How many is on Facebook? And you have Facebook friends. Do you really know all of your Facebook friends? Patty does. So she must be very selective. As she... And this is what I've ran into. It's like I've preached a lot of places. I've been to a lot of countries. And there are people that know me and feel like they know me because they've said in my teaching, and then they send me a friend request. Well, I'm not going to deny the friend request because we're friends. We're friends in the sense that we're on the first level of friendship. We're acquaintances. And we're, of course, we're all friends in Christ. But it's something different to know about someone and actually know them. And I've noticed that, like, when I've been at gatherings and people that I'm even related to, that I follow them on Facebook and I keep up with their family and what they're doing, I still really don't know them. And when you sit down to talk to them, sometimes it's a little awkward. Has anyone ever experienced that? It's like, yeah, you know about them on Facebook, but you don't really know the person. And you can have this same type of relationship with Jesus Christ. You can know a lot about him, but do you know him? You can know a lot about the Bible, but do you have a relationship with Jesus? So in a similar vein, it's one thing to know Jesus and the facts about his life, and to be able to recite the scriptures, but it's a whole different thing to actually be in that relationship with him and to sit in his presence and to hear his voice. Can someone say amen? So what God desires for us is to have a true, in-depth relationship, to really get to know Jesus. To really get to know more than just facts, but to know who he is and to understand the Father and the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God. So as we're about to open up this passage in John 14, we're going to go to John 14 and study 1 through 14 this morning. But within that is incredible truths about our salvation. And actually this is the first memory verse I ever memorized in John 14:1. My mom had a Good News Club, and we used to memorize verses, and that's where I got saved, was in the Good News Club when I was 5 years old. And this scripture has always meant a lot to me because of that. But we're going to start out with John 14, 1 and 2. And it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." 3-5. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And so we see that when Jesus began talking to his disciples, he's first thing he says is, "Let not your heart be troubled." And that word trouble comes from the Greek word that means agitated, to be stirred up, to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And so what could they possibly have been troubled about? Jesus obviously noticed that the disciples were kind of distressed, and he wanted to help them out. And often when we're troubled, everyone around us knows. You might be trying to hide it, but when something is stirring and agitated, even if you're trying to hide it, there's people who know, if they know you, that something is really going on in your soul. And Dwight Moody said, "I have never met a man who has given me as much trouble as myself." Can somebody say amen? So the disciples were likely stirred up and really troubled about something Jesus had said to them in the previous chapter in John 13, 33. He said, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." So this news probably would have been pretty confusing to them and distressing. We can only imagine the thoughts that were going through their head to think that Jesus is going away and they can't go with him. And they had, because they had left everything. And they had endured many hardships to follow Jesus. And now he was going to leave them, and he said they couldn't go with him. And so Jesus sensed that in his disciples, that they had troubled hearts. And he didn't just let it go. Isn't that something? Have you ever been around someone you know they're really troubled and you probably should say something, but you don't know if you should say anything or not, so you don't say anything at all? But Jesus knew his disciples. They had relationship. They'd been together for 3 years. And so he took the time to sit down and talk to them because he wanted to reassure them that he was going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. Because in his Father's house are many mansions. And he was going to get their rooms ready. And he promised that he would come back again and receive them and gather them together once again. So he emphasized also that the important thing was to have faith in him. He told his disciples that they must believe in him just as they believe in God. And that was in the very first verse that we read. They had to believe in him just as they have believed in God. That word belief is the Greek word that means to have faith in, or with respect to a person or a thing, to put your trust in. You've got to have faith in me. You've got to trust me that what I'm saying is true, because I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. So overall, Jesus' words in this section was meant to comfort them, to encourage them, and to help them face what was soon to come. That Jesus was departing from this world, and that he would no longer physically be present with him. So this entire exchange leads Thomas to say, how many of you have heard of Doubting Thomas? And Doubting Thomas gets a bad rap. But he didn't understand. Have you ever gotten a bad rap because you doubted something? Yeah, like people think something's wrong with you because you didn't quite understand it. And you ask a question. That's really all Thomas did. He said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And this is where we pick up the next point. And it's a powerful point because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus tells his disciples straight up that he's the way. And at this point, you would imagine that Thomas and the other disciples would begin to understand that knowing Jesus means recognizing that he is the only path to God the Father, and that all must follow him in order to have eternal life. Well, you know, he's the only way to get to the Father. They couldn't get to the Father. They couldn't have a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father if Jesus had not come to the earth and gave his life and shed his blood so that he could make a way for us to come to the throne of grace, to come to our Heavenly Father. He opened up the way, and he was trying to get them to understand, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. And so we know that this word, that Jesus is the way, causes a lot of conflict in the world today. Because the world would like to believe that there are thousands of ways to get to heaven, and that they can just bypass Jesus and do it the way that they want to do. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't follow the pattern, you're not going to get to heaven, because Jesus is the door. He opened up the way. He shed his blood so that we could boldly, I say boldly, come to the throne of grace this morning in our time of need, because of Jesus. Do we know Jesus? Do we understand the sacrifice that he gave for us? Do we understand the love that he has for us? Do we understand when our souls are troubled? He is concerned about that, and he wants to comfort us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to meet with us. He wants to transform us and change us into his image. We are to become more and more like Jesus, regardless of what's going on. The two words here at River of Life has always been, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I looked that song up, and it was written in 2002, and we have been singing it ever since. And that has been our declaration. When the Lord speaks to us, when he, sometimes he speaks rough to us. Does anyone hear God speak rough to you? Like tell you to straighten up? Yeah. Convict your heart? Isn't that wonderful, though? It feels horrible, but so wonderful that God is working on us. We know that we're alive in Christ, and we know that he cares for us. And so he is the way. He's the only way. And this is something that we have to take a stand for, because people will be lost and go to hell, because there really is a burning hell. There really is a lake of fire. And if they do not receive Jesus Christ, that's where they're headed. And we don't want anyone to be lost. Jesus gave his life so that no one would be lost. And so when we hear people talking about this, we have got to pray for them and find a way to share the truth. Can somebody say amen? Is that right, Angela? Is that right? Angela always has great testimonies on Wednesday night. She shares about her Holy Spirit adventures and leading people to the Lord. And she said there was someone that was talking to her, and she just told them, your soul needs to be cleaned up. She just told them, it needs to be cleaned up, and prayed with them to get their soul cleaned up. Have you met some people this week that needed their soul cleaned up? Hallelujah. You know, we pray for that boldness to be able to speak to someone the truth, the truth. And she didn't know how they were going to respond, but thank God they responded in a way that she could pray with them. And if they get mad, then let them get mad. Let the truth be the truth. Because, you know, later on, they'll love you for it. They'll love you for it. If you are saving their soul from hell, they're going to love you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So all of this, was not Jesus' idea, but it was the Father's idea. From the very beginning, it was the Father's idea that the Lamb would be sacrificed before the foundation of the world. And so Jesus goes on and he talks to his disciples in John 14, 7 to 8. And he said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And you can almost imagine the frustration that Jesus probably felt at that time. It's like, do you guys get this? I'm trying to get a message across to you. And he responds in John 14, 9 to 11. He said to them, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is just talking straight to him. Don't you love how Jesus just speaks it? He makes it clear in the scripture. He doesn't mess around with a lot of words. He's not concerned about hurting people's feelings. He's not concerned about calling someone out in front of someone else. Have you noticed that? He's pretty bold. Yeah, he's very bold. And so how can you say, show us the Father? Then it goes on, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me, when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to imagine Jesus, who everyone sees as gentle and lowly and humble and compassionate, get frustrated or even angry. But we have seen him do that for righteous causes in the scriptures, haven't we? And so he was just a little set back that these guys did not understand that it was God in him, working in him. And it was by the authority of the Father, everything that Jesus did. He sacrificed his life completely to fulfill the will of God in every way. And you know, when Jesus calls us and says, follow me, that is his expectations of us, that we will die to ourselves and come alive to what God wants to do on the inside of us and he wants to do through us. Somebody say amen. So you see, we see evidence of who God is when we study Jesus Christ's life. We see the evidence of who he is and by the way he acts and by the way he ministers. So knowing Jesus means that we understand that he's a perfect representation of God on earth. And when we study his life and his teachings, we come to know more about the Father who deeply loves us. And in a world where people may have misconceptions about who God is and what he desires for us, we can look at Jesus and he is the perfect. Tell your neighbor, the perfect. Perfect example. He is the perfect example. And that's why we study him. That's why we come together and study his word. And that's why we obey his commandments. You know, if everyone in the world just obeyed his commandments, can you imagine how peaceful it would be? Oh, Jesus. But we see the devil is loosed in the earth, and he came to kill, steal, and destroy. So let's go on, because it is Jesus Christ who empowers us. He releases the power. And next week is Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. And it's also Memorial Day weekend. Hallelujah. And Brother Jeff and I, we had a We have a staff meeting every week, and a couple weeks ago we were planning ahead, and I said, when is Pentecost Sunday? I think it's coming up. And he goes, oh, I'll ask ChatGPT. And I said, okay, I'll look on Google. So I looked on Google, and Google said May 28th, and ChatGPT said June. Yeah, it was June something. So he informed them that they had the wrong answer. So you see, it doesn't know everything. Don't believe everything that it tells you. But I just thought that was funny. I've never used it. And so in the one opportunity someone uses it, and not that I trust Google either, you know, for real. But when you count up, yeah, Pentecost Sunday is next Sunday. It's 49 days plus that Sunday. So that's how they figure it. But we're going on because Jesus empowers us. And he's releasing his power. He released it on that day of Pentecost. I'm looking forward to next Sunday. John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you know, this is potentially a confusing passage of scriptures in the Bible, because it doesn't mean that you can just ask anything and say Jesus in Jesus' name after it and you get it. Is that right? So Jesus was telling his disciples that they were going to do even greater works because he was going to the Father on their behalf. Jesus was leaving this earth and was heading back to heaven to be with the Father on their behalf. So think about that for a moment. We know Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and the scripture says he's interceding for us. He's our advocate right beside the Father. He's petitioning the requests that we speak in his name. And this truth can radically transform your prayer life. Tony Evans, Pastor Tony Evans, says this, the power of prayer is not in the words we say or the formula we follow, but in the one to whom we pray. It is God who answers prayer. It's not our eloquence or our effort. When we approach him with faith and trust, seeking his will and his glory, he will move on our behalf in ways that are beyond our imagination. So knowing Jesus means recognizing that he empowers us to carry on his work in the world and to spread his message of love and salvation to others. In a world where there is so much tragedy, darkness, and despair, we can be a light to others through our faith in Jesus and our actions of love and service. We can intercede, we can pray and ask for miracles because we share our requests through Jesus to Almighty God. Jesus takes what we pray and prays it and petitions the Lord God Almighty with our prayers. That is why we pray in Jesus' name. That is why he is the way, the truth, and the life. That is the only reason why we can do greater works, is because Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God and petitioning our prayers on our behalf here in the earth. Jesus, just get that picture in your mind. When you are praying in the Lord's name, he hears your prayer and he takes it to the Lord God Almighty. And we must pray according to his will. And when we pray according to his will, you're not always going to get it the way you want to get it. Oh, we are such spoiled children. Have you ever had a spoiled child that demanded something their way? It has to be like this, and mom and dad has to stay strong. My mom always said, you just have to have a stronger will than they do. And you have to stand strong and keep going the direction you know you're supposed to go. You're going to get what you're asking for. It's just not going to happen the way that you wanted it to. Has anyone experienced that? Am I talking to the right group? Hallelujah. Those are the things that change us. Those are the things that make us more like Jesus. Those things that are so uncomfortable and troubling. So let's go on. Pastor John MacArthur warned this. He said, prayer is not a means, of getting what we want, but aligning our will with the will of God. When we pray according to His will, we can be confident that He will answer us. But if we pray selfishly, seeking only to fulfill our own desires, we will not receive what we ask for. So we have incredible power this morning. We have that kingdom power in Jesus Christ. And we can know the Father through Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father except by Jesus. And we can experience eternal life because Jesus is the way. If you know Jesus, then you know life, full life, abundant life. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So as we wrap up today, I think it's worth recognizing that even those early disciples who walked daily with Jesus had their questions. They had doubts. They didn't fully understand all that Jesus was trying to reveal to them, and they needed help. And I know that there are others here today who just need help. They want to understand. And Jesus is speaking to you just like He spoke to His disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Because He is taking care of eternity on your behalf and for His church. Jesus Christ is the way. And if you know Jesus, you'll know life. And you will live life abundantly. The scripture says, living life abundantly. When you look into the translation in the Greek, it is all about living life with the advantage. We have an advantage because Jesus Christ is on our side. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's praying for us. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. When you think it's not going to happen, Jesus Christ can come through at the very last minute. I know there's testimonies here of how Jesus Christ has come through. He's made that way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And when we pray and petition, He takes our prayers and He's interceding right now in heaven. Intercession is the main ministry for Jesus Christ. It's so important that we pray. It's so important that we gather together for corporate prayer. This is the ministry. People say, I want to do the ministry. Well, the ministry is prayer. It is intercession. It is getting before God. It is petitioning Jesus. And He's taken those prayers to the Father. And you see miracles, signs, and wonders come forth in your life. We have seen miracle after miracle in this church and in this ministry over the last 26 years. We are still standing by the power and the grace of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a praise. So Jesus is the only way. He knows the Father, and they are one. Yes, we're going to do even greater things than He did because He's interceding on our behalf. And yes, He has a room prepared for each one of us in heaven. And it's there waiting for our arrival when that time comes. So with that in mind, I think the call today And the challenge is to truly live abundantly. We live abundantly when we share the love and the gospel with everyone that we can. We're His ambassadors here on the earth. We are carriers of good news. When people walk away from you, they should feel better. They should feel better. Because you carry the presence of God, they should feel better when you walk away from them. You know, I noticed that when Elder Jim and Carol first came to the church, I just observed how when people would talk to Elder Jim, they would always walk away with a smile. I'm like, look at that. That's got to be Jesus. You know, when you talk with someone and meet with someone, they should feel better than when you met with them before. Jesus, help us, Lord, to model our life after Christ and to live according to His commandments. That's the goal for now. Because eternity for each one of us is just around the corner. We have no idea at what time God's going to call us home. We have no idea, but we want to be ready. So you live ready. You know, I used to live in fear Jesus was coming because that's, we were taught more of a fear. He could come any minute. If you're not living perfectly right, then it's going to be, you know, you're going to go to hell. You're not going to make it when Jesus comes. And it was just a constant fear. But, you know, I learned that perfect love casts out all fear.
Amen.
All fear. And the gift of salvation is by grace. It's not by all the works that you do. It's the gift of grace from the Lord God Almighty. It's by His grace we are saved. And it's not by works. However, once we become a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, Christian means Christ follower. So if we are following Jesus, then every day we need to do all that we can do to fulfill His will. Thank you, Lord. John 10, 27 through 30 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So this morning, if you are a follower of Christ, He is holding you in His hand. And there's no demon from hell that can snatch you out of the Father's hand. We are secure this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ. And John 17:3 says, this is my last scripture, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is eternal life when you know Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? If you really know Jesus, then you really know life. Hallelujah. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for your presence today. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that today you're working deep in our hearts, Lord, to make us more like you. Lord, I pray right now that you help these saints remain steadfast and faithful as we follow you. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you order our steps every day. Lord God, that you direct our paths. Your word is a light unto our path, Lord. I thank you for the word of God that is illuminating in hearts and minds every day, Lord. I pray for the people of God to get in your word every day, Lord, to follow hard after you, Lord, because, Lord, we know that all the way We're going to follow you all the way into eternity where you are waiting for us, oh God, and where you have prepared a place for us. And Lord, that we have eternal life this morning through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your great mercy and your great truth this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that as we get ready, oh God, to receive communion this morning, we thank you, Father, for blessing the bread and for blessing the cup, Lord, as we partake of one body together as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen.